All right, everyone. Hey, how are you doing? Thank you for spending some time here with me in this beautiful lobby. I actually get to see some sun sometime this weekend, which is really nice. I'm Carissa Larson, and I'm a program manager on the information protection team here at Microsoft. And it's my pleasure to share with you guys today how we're tackling some of the security and compliance just challenges inside Office 365 today, and some of the brand new stuff that we've been working on. So, why is security and compliance important? We see data growing at an exponential rate, and it just continues to balloon and balloon. It grows and doubles every 2 years. And by 2020, it's predicted that there's going to be 44 zettabytes of information in the cloud. That's a lot of data and a lot of information. And what we hear from you guys, from our customers, is that it's just so hard to keep control of. It's so hard to know what's going on with it, and it's so hard to tell what I need to do with it. How can I protect it? Where is it going? What is it doing? And not only do you have a bunch of information to handle, a bunch of information to take care of, it's getting attacked constantly. It's just constantly berated by 230,000 new malware samples are created every single day. And it adds up to $100 billion in annual cost of cybercrime. It's a lot of money. And it's not just external threats, it's also internal ones as well. 59% of employees who leave the organization for any reason take data with them. Proprietary information, whether it's intentional or not, it's still a risk of data loss to your organization. So if you don't take security and compliance seriously, it can be really, really detrimental to your organization. And it's no surprise that we see our top three cloud concerns from customers are security and compliance. But also, we're now seeing a lack of visibility and transparency as one of those top concerns. And that's really where this kind of ballooning data comes in. We have traditionally been very poor about showing you guys what's going on with that data and just how are your policies working, what are they doing, are they doing the right things for you. So here at Microsoft, in Office 365, we've traditionally given you some pretty powerful tools in order to configure security and compliance in your organization. How many of you have run PowerShell scripts before to do any sort of policy inside of Office 365? Quite a few of you. Now, how many of you know exactly how many documents or exactly how many emails are processed by those policies? Not a lot, right? That's hard information to get. And it's really important in order to know if they're doing the right things. And so we've kind of had this cloudy area before and after the tools where you don't know exactly what you need to put into place. You might have some expertise and some knowledge, but it doesn't really relate to your data. You're kind of following best practices, following what you know you need to do. And then after you put them in place, you hope that they're working. There's not a lot of way to actually tell if they are. And so what some third-party tools do is they shine a light on what's going on. They give you this transparency into your data and into the policies and if they're doing the right thing. How many of you guys have used any third-party tools like Proofpoint to give you some of that dashboard, some of that information? Quite a few, yeah. And so I think what we've heard from customers is that that gives great transparency. But there's this rift between the two, between the tools that you're using, the transparency that you have, and it's hard to link the two together. You've got these separate pieces of information, but you can't use them together. So something we've tried to put into Office 365 now is some of that transparency to give you the linkage between your tools and your transparency so you have this integrated insights and integrated information that's always flowing in and helping you put into place better controls in Office 365. So I'm gonna jump straight into some demos here to show you how some of these new tools, new features work, and I hope you enjoy them. So flipping over to my lovely browser here, or not. look at that. Now we can see you. All right, so I am Rob. I am a compliance admin at a very large healthcare organization. I'm responsible for making sure we comply with all the regulations that we are subject to. And one day I come into my email as Rob. I see this email from Microsoft telling me that I have externally shared sensitive data in my organization. And this is a built-in protection that Microsoft is delivering to me. I didn't have to configure anything. We saw that there are these credit card numbers being shared, and we're not really doing anything controversial. We're showing a policy tip to your end users so that they can be educated about not sharing this sensitive information externally, but not affecting their workflow at all. They're still able to send those emails if they want to. But we are letting you know that, hey, this is going on in your organization. So as Rob, I take a look in here. I see a little bit of information that, hey, yeah, this happened on the 19th. There are 3 documents shared. It's not quite that many. It might be fine, but I definitely want to know some more information about it. So I click the link, and I'm brought into the Security and Compliance Center here. I can see some more information, some more detail about how many policy hits I've gotten on this default policy. And if I can zoom out here a little bit. There, now we can see the whole thing in one screen. At the bottom, you can see I can choose to increase my protection with this policy right here inside of this flyout. So I can choose for it to send me an email when this happens again, or I can choose to block people from sharing that content externally. But as Rob, I know that in parts of my organization, it's normal business practice for people to share credit card numbers externally. Maybe I work with some vendors. I trust my users that need to do that to know that they need to do that. So I'm not going to update any of this policy here, but I'm just going to exit out of it. And when I exit out of it, I see the Security and Compliance Center homepage. And this homepage is really tailored to me, Rob, as a compliance administrator. So I'm seeing some really cool things come through here, like how other organizations in Office 365 are using the Security and Compliance Center, Security and Compliance features within Office 365 to protect their data. So not only am I getting information about my data, what's happening with my data, I'm getting information about how others are protecting themselves, so maybe I can get some new knowledge. Maybe I didn't know that 25 billion people imported stuff into Office 365. So I'm taking a further look at this homepage, and it looks pretty cool. Like, I'm getting a lot of information that was really hard for me to find before, like this Know Your Data. How much data I have in email and documents and Twitter, just what it looks like, that's pretty cool. I couldn't see that before. But the thing that really jumps out to me as Rob is this protect and retain HIPAA information. Because I'm a healthcare organization, protecting medical documents is really, really important to me. So I'm going to take a further look at this recommendation. And in this recommendation, I can see that it's telling me if I click create here, it's going to put into place a retention policy and a DLP policy. So it's using 2 policies with 1 button click to help me protect my content. It's going to find the medical records for me using some of the powerful classification that I have. And it's also putting into place a 6-year retention policy. And the 6 years is really targeted to me as Rob because I am based out of Washington. And the regulation in Washington requires that I keep the data for 6 years. So it's not just, you know, hey, we know some compliancy things. We know what Rob looks like, and we're trying to help Rob do exactly what he needs to in Office 365. But because I'm from a very large organization, I have some pretty specific needs I need to handle. So I don't want to just click create here. This is kind of a blanket policy that I don't think really meets all my needs. So instead, I'm going to go in and customize it. And when I go to customize it, I can come to the retention page, which we've revamped the UI for so that it makes it much easier to set up these retention policies across your whole organization. But it's still the same powerful commandlets behind it, the powerful backend behind it that we've always had. And you can still do all the full customization that you've always needed and wanted to do. So I won't go through creating this retention policy in the sake of time in the 20 minutes that I have with you guys today. I did do a breakout session earlier today, and if you're interested in going through the full depth here, you can download that recording and watch it. But I'm just going to exit here. There's another cool thing I want to show you, which is the data governance dashboard. So up on the main homepage, you guys were able to see some of the cool widgets that Rob had as a compliance admin. But let's say he was a very specialized admin. He was a records manager. And all he had access to was import and archive and retention, and that's what he did all day long, every day. He can still come in here into this data governance section onto his dashboard, and he can see things that are very specific to him. So we have these very specific areas where specialized users can come in and really live and breathe day to day and see the things that they need to see. So that's my Rob flow. I want to talk to you a little bit about Alex. So Alex is also responsible for compliance, but he's not in a very large organization. He's part of a small doctor's office, and they don't have the cash flow to hire someone to specifically handle compliance, but they still have the same regulations. They're still subject to HIPAA. They're still subject to all these other regulations. And when he would come into the Security and Compliance Center here, he would see some of the same recommendations that Rob sees, and he would see this HIPAA recommendation. And he might not have a whole bunch of knowledge on how to set up a retention policy, what that actually really means, what he needs to do to comply with these regulations. But with this screen right here, he could click Create, and it might not do exactly what he needs in every single scenario. There might be some specific things that he can tweak later on, but he can get started with protecting his medical records here, and he can use the same powerful policies that Rob is able to with his expertise. All right, so that's kind of the compliance side of things. And we set up some protections to help us against bad governance and help us against people sharing data externally. But things aren't always fine and dandy, right? You get attacked sometimes. And what happens if you do get attacked? How are you going to know? How are you going to handle it? So I'm going to walk you through as Investigator Ellie. I am going to be responsible for the security in this healthcare organization that we are talking about. And I'm sticking in the same mailbox here for the sake of time, but I'm gonna show you a different alert that Ellie may have gotten. So one day Ellie wakes up, she comes into her email, and she sees that there's this high severity anomalous aggregation alert from Office 365. She sees an unusual volume of external file sharing has occurred, and that's pretty concerning to her. She sees that Gopi has been sharing a lot of files. She doesn't quite know what that means yet, but it's definitely something she wants to take a look at and she wants to start investigating. So Ellie comes in here and she clicks Investigate and is brought into the same Security and Compliance Center that Rob was acting in. It's your one-stop shop for security and compliance in Office 365. But she's seen a very different experience because she has very different needs. And so Ellie comes in here and she sees a little bit more information in this alert details view here about what this alert is. So I'm going to click on this view activity list because I want to see what happened in order to trigger this alert. And I can see all the events that happened that were then aggregated and we processed them and said, hey, this looks unusual for your organization. We think you should know about it. You might want to go look at it. And so she sees that most or all of these events have happened with Gopi as the user who took the action. And so she wants to take a look at Gopi and see just what has Gopi been doing in the past few days or the past few hours. This looks kind of suspicious. So she can see that his last login was from Jill in China. And that's weird in and of itself because she's based out of Washington, right? But it's especially weird because she knows he's supposed to be at Ignite right now. He shouldn't be logging in from China or else he's going to be in trouble. So she thinks he's definitely been hacked. So now she knows there's probably something wrong with this account. I want to take some actions to make sure nothing further bad happens. And so here she can take some quick remediation actions to either block the user or reset their password to stop the bleeding from this attack that's happening in her organization. And another interesting piece of information she can see in this list is the specific items that were shared that triggered this alert. So this company picnic document here, it contained credit card numbers, so it contained sensitive information. So she knows that it's not just him sharing some random documents. Gopi is sharing things with very sensitive information. This could potentially be really bad for her. So she wants to make sure that she investigates it fully and that she takes the actions she needs to take. So at this point, she knows who's hacked, and she wants to get some further information, like really figure out what's going on in her organization. So in order to do that, she's going to use our Threat Explorer. How many of you guys have seen the Threat Explorer at some point over this weekend? Yeah, a few of you? All right. Well, it's one of the really, really cool new features that we've been working on. In this Threat Explorer, she can see the attacks that her organization has been subject to, historical trends. She can dig in and find a whole bunch of information. What I'm going to focus on here right now is her finding out what happened to Gopi, what happened to him that compromised his account. So if I search for Gopi, I can see the specific threat, the specific malware family that he's been subject to, and it looks like it was a SwabFex attack. I don't know what SwabFex is, but I would really like to find out. And in here, I can click on this, and I can see some more information about it. We have a whole bunch of spam analysts that work at Microsoft. They're constantly looking at the threats and the attacks that are occurring worldwide, and we're publishing some of the information and the knowledge that they have and pushing it to you guys so that you can know what these attacks are, know what they look like, what they typically do, and better respond to them. And so I kind of know as Ellie what this attack is now, and I also know with this user list here who's received this attack, who has been potentially compromised. So now I know a list of users to go follow up with. And then a few more cool things that she can see in the Threat Explorer here. She can download a report about this malware family so she can get even more information. It's got a summary, it's got details, again, all from our spam analysts here at Microsoft. And then she can see what this email typically looks like. So because she can see what this email typically looks like, she can potentially go do a search and destroy in her organization and get rid of that email in case someone hasn't clicked on it yet, and so there's no more bad things happening. And the last cool thing in the Threat Explorer I want to show you is she can see if this was specifically targeted to her or if it was a more worldwide attack. So she's gotten a lot of information here in the Threat Explorer and from the alert that she got. She's got enough to go and start handling this and furthering her investigation and cleaning up from what happened. And let's say she goes and she does all that, and she really doesn't want this to happen again, so she can use some of the information she's gotten about what triggered this alert, how it looked when it was first starting with sharing those credit card numbers, and maybe she wants to go put in a data loss prevention policy in place now to block anyone from sharing credit card numbers externally. It's a little bit more restrictive to your end users, but if you're seeing this attack, she might want to go do that, and she can use what she's seen in order to do that. So those were the compliance and security flows I wanted to show you guys. Switching back here. So that's kind of what I have to show you guys today. We have a whole bunch more breakout sessions. We have a whole bunch more overview sessions about all the different features in security and compliance. And if you're interested in those, I'd really encourage you guys to go to one of these. Some of them have already happened, I know, because it's Tuesday afternoon. But we still do have quite a few that are going on. This afternoon at 4 p.m., we have one on our information governance. So if you're like Rob or like our records manager, you definitely want to go to that one. We've got some cool stuff we want to show you. And that's all I've got. So I'll open it up to questions if you guys have them. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so. Right. So the question was, when Rob, the compliance admin, got this alert that, hey, this credit card numbers has been shared, can you have the user get that alert too? And they actually do with this default policy. So it's showing them policy tips. And so if they put in a document with a credit card number in their email, that little bar will pop up and it will say, hey, you're about to share credit card numbers externally. Are you sure you want to do this? So it's educating them in line in their workflow without preventing them from doing it if they really do need to. And I've got some swag, so I'll give you one. Give me just 1 second to get it out of my bag. But I can take another question. Yeah. That's a great question. So the question was, blind subpoenas, how are we protecting it in the Office 365 cloud? It's something that we're continually working on. It's a really difficult problem because it's the government. When they ask for stuff, we have to comply. So there's a lot of case studies that we've done where we've defended ourselves against them. But there's not a simple answer. You have a further question, though. Yeah. So I'm not sure about that specific one. I think something along the same lines of what you're looking for there is our customer lockbox scenario. And you could get notified when we do need access to your data then. Yeah, so I unfortunately don't have a good answer for you there. I could try and follow up, but sorry. Yeah.
When is the Threat Explorer available, and is it part of
E5? So, yes, the Threat Explorer is part of E5. I don't know exact dates on when it's available. I know it's coming soon in the next few months. Let's see, they just had a breakout session at 12:45 that you could download, and they might have mentioned when it's available in that. Yeah. So I'm actually going to have Binyan, who is one of my coworkers over here, come up and answer that question. He's owns alerts, so. Anyone else? I've got one more swag. Yeah. Yeah. Yep, so the question was, can I delegate access to the portal to people that aren't admins, like a security manager who wants to come in and see these alerts or see the reports, but you don't want them to be creating users or giving users permissions? The answer is yes, you can delegate those permissions. We have our own set of permissions in the Security and Compliance Center, so some of the role groups are recognized from AAD, so we have like security admin, compliance admin, global admin that are recognized in both centers, and you don't need to configure extra permissions to give people access through those. But you can set granular permissions, like if you wanted to create your own role group as a security viewer or something like that and give them just view-only reports and other things, you can do that. I hate you. I won't toss it, it's heavy. All right. Anyone else? All right. Well, thank you very much.